I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Dylan Barnes.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and thejournal.com. Dylan, if I doze off over here, it's because I probably ate too much pizza.
Yeah.
And I woke up too early today. I need a nap.
I'm already feeling the effects of the pizza as well.
So good. Pizza Doctor. They sponsor our football video show. If y'all haven't checked it out, by the way, you need to. It's the DJ Preps football preview show, aptly named, I would say. It drops, I guess, Wednesday night-ish?
Yeah, at around 7, 7:30, somewhere in there.
Whenever John Luke McCord has time to finish putting it all together. Feel bad for him. He has to watch it twice when he records it and when he edits it.
That is true. I never even thought of that.
Okay, it's okay. I have to listen to this podcast twice. So it's the burden of
producing.
Producing. So, hey, welcome into Prep Rally. Brad and Dylan here on this Wednesday, 29th of September. We come to you every Wednesday, unless we don't. You can find us in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. And also be sure to follow us on the Twitter machine at djournalpreps. Got a lot to talk about, a lot of football, of course, a lot of big games last week. Got some more big games coming up this week. Got some football news about games later in the season. We'll have athletes of the week, all that fun stuff. So let's jump into the football rewind. Dylan, Tupelo, 5-0 now, winning its Division II 6A opener over Grenada, 35-6. And tell you what, that was probably, well, I don't know if it was the most impressive win of the year because that Corinth game was something else, but this is a division game. Against another 6A team. So it was probably the best game they played all around this year. The offense continues to improve. The defense is just doing its thing. The only touchdown they gave up was on special teams on the punt return from Jaheim Shack, who I don't know why he didn't get more touches. He was the best athlete on the field, honestly, for Grenada. But, hey, whatever. I'm not a coach. But, I mean, that Tupelo defense, though, that just wasn't a whole lot Grenada could do with it. And they're not alone in that. Tupelo fell behind 6-0 after that punt return within the offense behind Jeremiah Harrell. The quarterback got things going. You know, he's been splitting snaps with Lake Reed. Lake Reed was kind of banged up. He only played one series last week against Grenada. And so Jeremiah Harrell had to kind of take over. They're both sophomores, but they both have progressed. And Jeremiah played a tremendous game, 11 of 14 passing, 75 yards, 3 touchdowns, and he also had 74 yards on the ground. Ran him more than they usually do. Of course, when they're playing both of these guys, usually it's Lake Reed that gets the quarterback run calls more than Jeremiah, but Jeremiah showed he can run the ball, clearly, and he can. So, you know, the offensive line obviously does a great job opening up holes for him. You got Quay Middlebrooks, who was just kind of almost quietly putting together a really good season. Had 100 and I had him with 117 yards. I think Tupelo had on their Max Preps page had him with slightly fewer, but, you know, stat keeping is not as an exact science as we would like to think it is. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so just probably the best offensive performance by Tupelo just all around. I mean, they've got they got some really good guys at receiver, and most notably KD Gibson, and he scored the first touchdown of the game for Tupelo on a 14-yard pass from Jeremiah Harrell. And it was a close game in the second quarter. I mean, Tupelo was actually leading 7-6, and Grenada was driving to take the lead. Mm-hmm. They got down inside the one, and then the quarterback on a keeper, I think it was third and goal. I mean, he got almost to the goal line. He was within feet, maybe inches of crossing the plane. And Jamarian Scott punched the ball out.
He's a fun quote, too.
He is. We'll get to that in a minute. And the loose ball was eventually picked up by Jamal Edwards, a cornerback, and he returned it 93 yards for a touchdown and a 14-8 lead, a 14-6 lead. And after that, the route was pretty much on. It was 21-6 at halftime, and Tupelo added a couple more touchdowns in the second half. The defense kept things in check as far as Grenada. And, yeah, I talked to Jamarian Scott, the linebacker, after the game. He's been, like, every time I go down to the field after a game, he's like, hey, you going to interview me tonight? I'm like, well, I mean, you know, you got to score a touchdown or something.
Do something, yeah.
And I didn't know who had punched it out. So I was going to talk to to the kid who returned it, Edwards. But then someone told me that Jamarian punched it out. I was like, okay.
There's a chance.
Jamarian, I know he's going to be a good quote. I can, because he's one of those kids that just likes to interact with people. So he's been talking to me. Every time I see him, he talks to me. Great kid. And yeah, he said, I asked him about the strip on the fumble. He said, I got to him, stripped the ball loose, then sweet Christmas, touchdown. Yeah. That got a little fun play on Twitter.
Jamarian, I think he has some like kinfolk in Biggersville or something.
Oh, yeah.
Because last year in the 1A North half finals, I went down to Nanawaya. I may be saying that wrong. I forgot how that pronunciation is. But
Nanawaya.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And he was there. And he's like, hey man, who are you? And I like told him, you know, Dylan Barnes, Daily Journal, Tupelo. He's like, do you ever come to Tupelo games? And I was like, no. I said, that's Brad. He covers that. And then since then, like, I've seen him like 4 or 5 different times, whether it's Tupelo volleyball or like just out and about in Tupelo or some other game. He's like around, and he's constantly talking about, hey man, when are you going to interview me? So for him to like come through with such a good quote there,
Begging me to interview him. That's he came through in the clutch.
Yeah, absolutely. Both on the field and the interview. So
exactly. And he's a guy who plays linebacker. He's played some on offense. You know, they had some receivers that were injured early on or had COVID or whatever, and so they were kind of shorthanded. And he and Fred Adams both had to play kind of two ways a little bit. But now he's pretty much exclusively on defense. They've got most of those receivers back, like J.Q. Witherspoon. He's a solid player and just a fun kid to be around. And, you know, we live for those kind of interviews. Absolutely. As journalists, which they can be hard to get sometimes from teenagers. But then you got guys like him, they just – it's magic.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good job, Jamarian. Let's move on to your game, Dylan. You got Ripley against Boonville, and we both picked Boonville to win this game on the video show, but Ripley showing that it definitely has a good defense. 21-9 was the final, and you know, Boonville's had its issues on offense, certainly, trying to settle itself a quarterback, but still, that was an impressive win to me.
Yeah, but Boonville's dealing with some injuries and some quarantine issues and stuff. I think they were missing about 4 starters, including their starting center, and that kind of showed up on some snaps and stuff. But overall, Ripley's defense was just flying around, making plays all night long, and, you know, Ripley's was very fortunate, you know, just to come out with a 21-9 win there in your last non-division game, going into a tough division stretch that they've got coming up, and did it without their starting quarterback with Ty Long, who got injured in the loss the previous week to Senatobia. So,
right.
You know, for them to win without having, you know, Ty there. I know he's a sophomore, but he had a whole year of experience last year, and obviously was the starter coming into this year too. So, you know, for them to kind of piece together offensively what they had to get done and then kind of play on it. But the biggest part of the game was, I mean, Tyler Rucker, junior safety there for Ripley, started the game off, opening kickoff 95 yards to the house. And when you're without your starting quarterback and you know you're going to struggle on offense, and, you know, Ripley's not going to throw 40 and 50 points up on quality defenses,
right,
like
right.
Greenville and stuff. Like, that's, their offense isn't built for that. And so for him to get them kind of out ahead or whatever, it was just a huge spark in that game. And then, you know, that was 7-0 was the halftime score.
It was
kind of one of those deals. Boonville had a good drive to start the second half. Guy Gillespie had a 27-yard field goal there and got Boonville kind of in striking distance there, 7-3. And then Emmanuel Griffin took over in that second half. At Ripley offensive line, they're playing a bunch of sophomores and freshmen, you know, up there. But they really worked Boonville in the second half as far as just creating holes. Emmanuel Griffin took the first play of the second half for Ripley, 69 yards to the house, and it was like not even close. There wasn't a defender within 20 yards of him.
Really?
Off the deal. They were just complete misassignment there on a gap assignment there for Boonville's defense, and then he comes back later in the fourth quarter and has a 35-yard touchdown run. So he finished the game, 21 carries, 193 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And 135 of those yards and both touchdowns came in the second half. So
yeah,
he was seeing the holes. The offensive line was opening them up. Ripley just really dominated that game, especially defensively. Like I said, it held him 3 points until Boonville's final drive of the game. Ripley kind of laxed up a little bit, and Boonville scored there late. So it was a good win for Ripley. For Boonville, I know Coach Maddox after the game was a little dejected, a little bit just out of the performance, I think, that he saw from his guys. Because you definitely don't want to put that out there on film going into this week with Kossuth, you know, start division play. So maybe they'll bounce back this week. So
Division play. This was not a division game, so, you know, they can learn from it and move on to these games that matter even more. And then finally, West Point and Lafayette, always a good one, 1-5A. A showdown there in West Point. And, you know, these games in recent years have been very close. This one was, by comparison, a blowout, even though it really wasn't. But 17-0 was the final score, West Point with the win over Lafayette. And, of course, this is a West Point team that had to forfeit its first two games. They played a game, then they had a bye week. And so, yeah, they were fresh, but on the other hand, they hadn't had much time on the field against someone else, so you kind of didn't know how that was going to work out. But turns out they can still play defense. Held Lafayette to 95 total yards of offense, just 15 in the first half. Lafayette didn't get a first down until almost the end of the third quarter.
Yeah, I think it's the 124 mark of the third quarter.
Yeah.
It's their first down of the game.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, West Point, of course, we know they run the ball. I mean, Cannon Daniels, he got their first touchdown on a 7-yard run in the first quarter. And then Keyshawn Henley went 69 yards to make it 14-0. That was the score at halftime, and then they had a field goal. So, yeah, West Point is, I think, judging by that win, because I think Lafayette had improved since that season opening loss to Tupelo. That tells me that they're definitely pretty much the same West Point that we've seen the last several years.
Yeah, and we all know what this is going to end up, though. Is West Point's now in the driver's seat of that division. Lafayette, talent wise, probably going to be second,
right,
in that division, and they're going to be on opposite sides somewhere and meet North half or third rounder somewhere.
Yeah,
that's just.
I hope so.
That's typically what happens. That just seems like that's what's about to play out again for the.
Yeah,
however many times in a row.
That's become one of our best rivalries in recent years, I would say, for sure. Okay, let's look ahead to some big games this week, this Friday. In 1A, we've got TCPS visiting Biggersville. That's a big Division 1-1A game. Both teams 1-0 in division coming in. Biggersville 3-1 overall, TCPS 2-2. And this has always been a pretty big division game. The winner of this game has I won't say they're in the driver's seat per se, because I still want to see what Smithville can do in 1-1A. They'll be in the mix, I would imagine. But you got an inside track, you win this game, most definitely. You know, Biggersville has Zay Davis, speedster. They've always got athletes. They're solid at quarterback with the Rousey kid. Dylan is the quarterback, or Drew? I always get those two mixed up.
Drew's the quarterback. Dylan's the older brother that's right. The receiver and DB.
That's right. And, of course, TCPS had to replace a lot of offensive pieces from last year, notably Kai Holiday and Noah Foster. But they've got a young running back, Emmanuel Randall, who's already got three 100-yard rushing games. So he looks very promising. They got a huge offensive line.
Yeah.
They average about 275 a man up there. And, of course, got a quarterback, Jake Prather, who transferred from Saltillo. And Laith Holiday at receiver. So, you know, this is an offense that can still go.
Yeah.
Definitely. But I think Biggersville's can as well. I can't, you know, we picked this game also on the football show. I think we both believe we'll see a few points scored. My over-under may have been a little, I may have low-balled it a little
bit. I may have too. I think I was trying to be conservative with that just because.
I think I picked 27-23. Is that right?
Something like that.
Something like that.
I think I went 35-27 or something.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm still trying to get a feel for TCPS right now.
Yeah.
And Biggersville,
yeah, I guess. Yeah, and Biggersville in that case. I mean, like, Biggersville's long loss was, you know, to a good UPOR team, but UPOR beat them by, like, two scores, I think. And, you know, TCPS had those two to start out the year pretty tough, Clarkdale and Evangel, I can't even say that, and Christian, ECS is what they just say in Memphis.
Bishop Sycamore? What? Who?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. TCPS might actually beat them. Yeah, so at least TCPS is as big as the Cats, those 25-year-olds that are playing high schoolers.
Yeah, another game to watch is the A game. And this one has a little extra meaning to it this year because Amory and Aberdeen are now division opponents in 4-3A. First time since 08 they've been division foes. And so, yeah, it's already a big game to begin with. Both teams 2-3. You know, Aberdeen had to forfeit its first two games, so they're 2-1 on the field. They look to be an improved team. And they got beat pretty bad by Caledonia last week by, I think, three touchdowns. Amory's been a little bit up and down, but they've got Charleston French at running back and last I checked, he is still very good at running the football. He's already got over 500 yards rushing on the season. I've got the numbers exact right here, in fact. I mean, he's got 587 yards and 5 touchdowns. You got the new quarterback, Jatarian Ware. He's completing, he's completed 35 of 56 for 500 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's got 4 picks, but only 1 in the last 3 games. And that was on a Hail Mary last week. And he can run the ball, too. He's got 283 and 8 touchdowns rushing. Yeah. So, you know, it seems like he's coming along pretty well. Didn't really know what to expect with him. And can't decide. I guess they got a pretty good – I need to get their scores in front of me. I feel like their defense has been playing pretty well for the most part.
Yeah, they only gave up 21 to Morville in their first win there in week 3. And then they – I believe they gave up just 7 to North Pontotoc, who's been playing really well offensively with Reese Kittner and Wynn Everett and stuff. So, and then last week they gave up a good bit to Houston, like 31 maybe.
32 to 20 was that one.
32, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. But Houston's got such a good offense.
Yeah, Houston's been running over everybody. So
yeah, but, you know, Aberdeen's defense also playing well. They also only gave up 21 to Morville
right.
in a win.
And
we'll talk about what that offense did last week in a minute.
Yeah.
So.
And you compared Aberdeen's loss to Caledonia. You know, we obviously have been building up Caledonia, too.
They're undefeated.
But Caledonia's also won by, I think, 2 possessions against Amory, too, in week 2.
Yeah.
So Caledonia's taken down both of these teams.
Yeah, and you know, Amory's played a tough schedule. I mean, Itawamba lost to Itawamba, Caledonia, that Morville.
Houston,
I mean, to hold that Morville team down like they did. I thought it was pretty good, and then beat North Pontotoc and lost, like you said, lost to a very good offensive team in Houston. So I think this could be a pretty evenly matched game.
Yeah,
honestly.
It certainly on paper it certainly seems pretty even across the board there. So
yeah,
it'll be fun.
And then finally, we got Tupelo at Oxford in a Division II 6A game. Could be a defensive battle. I mean, we've probably sick of us talking about Tupelo's defense. Let's talk about Oxford's defense. It's got some guys like Ben Gabeau and Keegan Wilfon at linebacker, Alex Sanford at defensive end. I mean, these are all legit, defensive stars for Oxford. Looking at Gabeau, I mean, he's kind of come out of nowhere. 42 tackles, 6 for loss. You know, he's the guy that moved in last year from California. He didn't play football, or he just didn't get on the field. I'm not sure if he was on the team.
I don't even know if he moved in.
Well, he moved
in after football or during football season.
I think he did, because he was on the baseball team.
Yeah, because he played baseball and was a pretty good, pretty big part of that baseball team.
Yeah, he was.
And he's bigger now than I remember him in the baseball uniform back in the spring.
Yeah.
Just seeing him standing there at middle linebacker a few weeks ago against Lafayette, he looks like a 6A linebacker.
Yeah.
And he's obviously playing with his hair on fire, too. So,
yeah, and, you know, what you really want to look for is how these young how these quarterbacks for each team perform against these defenses. I mean, Jeremiah Harrell, like I said, he's played a lot. He's gotten better each week, played great last week, but he's still a sophomore going up against this veteran defense. On the other side, you got Oxford with 2 guys at quarterback, Michael Harvey and Tripp Maxwell, that both in their second year splitting duties, but the numbers, I mean, they haven't even completed 40% of their passes, but I think that's a little mainly due to the fact they lost pretty much all their receivers from last year. So they're still trying to find some chemistry and trying to find what works in the passing game. And so that could be a struggle, because that Tupelo secondary, even though it's banged up, is still really scary to deal with. You still got Zach Pratt and Fred Adams back there. And I mentioned the Jamal Edwards kid had the scoop and score last week. So I expect kind of a low-scoring game. Like I picked on the show, I would expect Tupelo to win. I just think they're just improving each week. They seem to be in a zone. They've scored a defensive touchdown in 3 straight games. Wouldn't be surprised to see that happen again this week. So, okay, so those are some of the games to look at this week. We'll have coverage in the Daily Journal and at djournal.com. Let's move on to a little bit of football news regarding the schedule later in the season. The MHSAA has announced that on the last 2 weeks of the regular season, they're going to have a lot of Thursday games. This, of course, is due to the shortage of officials. You know, they had to move some games last week to Thursday because of this reason. And so for the last 2 weeks of the season, they're going to be doing that on Thursday. Here we go. Thursday, October 28th, going to have all the teams in 2A, 3A, and 4A playing on Thursday, and then 1, 5, and 6 on Friday. The next week, playoffs begin for 2, 3, and 4A, so they'll play those playoff games on Friday, November 5th, and then 1, 5, and 6A, which always ends its regular season a week later than the others. They'll play those games on Thursday, November the 4th. So that's
a lot.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
for us.
Those are going to be some long weeks. Those 2 weeks.
Yeah, okay. Volleyball update real quick, because we're going kind of long. But you got to see New Albany and Corinth last night at New Albany. And New Albany with the 3-0 win, and they're closing in on what would be a fifth straight division title.
They'll have to take care of business next Tuesday against Tisch County. But yeah, they're in the driver's seat to win their fifth straight division title. They looked pretty good against Corinth doing it. Corinth kind of jumped out in all three sets, kind of got out a little mm-hmm. early.
Yeah.
And New Albany just somewhere midway through each set just found a way to make a big run. So a lot of times, first set, I believe there's like a 12-1 run in there. And there was another like 8-0 run there mm-hmm. in the third set. So they kept finding these big runs to get back on top. And it was just kind of Corinth just a little overmatched. It's been a down year for them. It's been tough losing. Lost Anna Green, transferred to KASU. Mm-hmm. They lost Kate Nakagawa.
She graduated,
to graduation. So they were replacing a lot of pieces from last year's team. It's just kind of been a rough go of it this year. So they were a little overmatched. But this New Albany team has won 12 of its last 13 matches.
One of the hottest teams in the area, man.
And so they're just – Coach Ashley Connolly told me after the game, they're just – kind of clicking right now at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly. Just in any sport, you always want to be playing your best ball or whatever.
At this point,
and late in division play, playoffs on the horizon.
Yeah.
And New Albany's certainly doing that. So
let's do the shout out this week. It goes to all the people that are rallying around Macy Walker and her family, of course. I'm sure you've heard that Macy and her mom and her brother were in a terrible accident last week. Her brother, Michael, died from his injuries. Macy and her mother, Melissa, are both still in the hospital. They both undergone multiple surgeries. And just hoping everything continues to improve for both of them. And, they've started to GoFundMe and have raised thousands of dollars.
I've seen thousands of dollars.
And so just great to see everybody kind of surround them and lift them up and help them out. I mean, that's kind of what you see a lot of around here. That's one thing that I love about Mississippi. So prayers for that family and their loved ones. Okay, let's close this out with the athletes of the week. No-brainer on the male athlete of the week. Dawson Phillips, the quarterback for Moorville last week against Mantachie. 38 of 43 passing, 637 yards. That's 6.37, 9 touchdowns. And he had 47 yards rushing with another touchdown, 10 total touchdowns. And Moorville won a football game over Mantachie 70-58. Just let that sink in.
Yeah. I wrote a story about this in Tuesday's Daily Journal.
Yes, y'all go check it out.
Check it out. But one note I will say, and I don't know if I mentioned it in that story or not, but talked to Jimmy Young about this, and he's like, there's only 5 incompletions, and this kid threw for 637 yards, which is just 9 yards short of the state record for a single game.
Mm.
And 5 incompletions, 2 of them were drops. He said 2 of them were bad throws. And he's like, one was just a complete miscue. I think kid ran the wrong route and just miscommunication. So, on 43 attempts, just 38 completions, 637 yards, and 10 total.
That air raid is a clicking.
Yeah, that works. So.
Okay, female athlete of the week, Brooklyn Morgan from Tupelo Cross Country. She's just a freshman, I believe. She had a dominating win at the Tupelo Invitational on Saturday in the 4A through 6A race. She won it with a time of 19 minutes, 25.9 seconds. That was 25 and a half seconds ahead of second place. So Brooklyn Morgan having a very impressive season for Tupelo. That's all the time we have for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Come to you every Wednesday. You can find us in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Dylan's on there at DylanBarnesDJ, and I'm on there at Brad Locke. And we'll see y'all next week. We'll